The Social Worker's Daughter by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 3. The Sorting Hat. Professor McGonagall returns to address the congregation of first-year students.
"Please follow me to the Great Hall. Silence would be sincerely appreciated."
The gaggle of first-years followed the green-clad witch into a large banquet hall. This room was huge, Harry thought, as he traversed the Great Hall with a slight feeling of trepidation. At the front of the room was a table reserved for faculty and staff, and four long tables with hundreds of students took up most of the rest of the space. Suddenly, near the front of the hall, Professor McGonagall stopped. She turned to the students and held a brown piece of parchment. Next to the professor was an old wooden stool, and seated on it was a dusty, dingy hat that literally looked like it was hundreds of years old. The deputy headmistress spoke up.
"Before we begin, the headmaster would like to share a few words. Professor Dumbledore, the floor is yours."
"To our first-year students, welcome to Hogwarts. And to our returning students, welcome back. I have a notice for our first-year students. The Dark Forest is expressly forbidden to all students, and also the third corridor, on the right, is off-limits to those who wish to avoid a most painful death. Mr. Filch, our caretaker, has the authority to direct students violating these rules to their appropriate heads of house. That is all I have. Thank you for your cooperation, and may each and every one of you have a successful year."
"Thank you, Professor Dumbledore,"
Professor McGonagall purred. She then turns to face the gaggle of first-year students and address them thusly.
"When I call your name, you'll come up here to take your seat. This hat will be placed on your head to determine which house you will belong to. I must warn each of you that the choice the hat makes is final, so you will remain with that house until you complete your studies at Hogwarts. This house will effectively be your family."
Harry and Lila held hands, hoping that they would be selected in the same house. Lila felt the sweat from Harry's palm drip onto hers.
"Nervous, Harry?" she whispered.
Harry could only nod in response. Professor McGonagall read off several students' names, and they got placed into various houses. The wrinkles on the hat seemed to twist and bend to take the shape of a makeshift face. The hat twitched every which way, as if deep in thought. Finally, the professor called a name Harry knew.
"Lila, darling!"
"Good luck, Lila," Harry whispered, giving her hand a slight squeeze. Lila looked back at Harry, giving him a little smile as she approached the stool.
"Miss Darling, my goodness, what an apt name for such a good soul,"
the hat whispered to her.
"Kind, generous, and industrious. You have some bravery in you, yes, and a clever mind as well. You would do well in several houses, actually."
The hat took nearly 3 minutes to make a decision.
"Hufflepuff!"
She smiled to Harry as she took her seat at the Hufflepuff table. Harry now knew which house he wanted to be in more than anything. He had to be a Hufflepuff with his new best friend Lila.
"Hermione Granger!"
"This must be the frizzy hat brunette Lila talked about," Harry thought. "Cute, but not Lila cute. And Lila must not be very good with remembering names. Calliope, seriously. Surely you're much better than that, Lila."
Hermione took her seat in the stool. Much like with Lila, the hat seemed to be torn for several minutes. Finally, the hat coughed out,
"Gryffindor!"
Harry then heard the professor rattle off several names of students he wasn't familiar with.
"Neville Longbottom!"
Neville approached the stool cautiously. He sat down on the stool even longer than Lila or Hermione. In fact, he was not that far off from being a hat stall.
"Gryffindor!"
the hat cried out. Neville seemed to be somewhat disappointed by the decision, as he did not smile as he took his seat at the Gryffindor table. Then came a name that made Harry's hands clench into fists.
"Draco Malfoy!"
It did not take the hat long at all to decide where to put Draco, almost as soon as the hat was placed on his head.
"Slytherin!"
Not long after that, it was Harry's turn.
"Harry Potter!"
Harry looked toward the Hufflepuffs the entire time, hoping to join Lila's house. He gingerly sat on the stool as Professor McGonagall placed the hat on his head.
"We meet at last, Mr. Potter. You are an interesting one for sure,"
it whispered to Harry.
"Hufflepuff, please,"
Harry thought. The hat seemed to actually taunt Harry.
"Hufflepuff? But you have many talents, young man. You have much courage and the desire to make something of yourself. And you have a sharp enough mind, too.
But Hufflepuff? Are you sure about that?
Harry wasn't about to take no for an answer.
I want Hufflepuff, please. I know I'll be happy there.
The Hat wasn't about to let Harry simply have his way either.
Tut, tut, young Potter. You think you know happiness, and it's because of Miss Darling, isn't it? You're right, she's a good witch, and she can make you happy. But that's still quite a selfish reason for a house request. You're really better off elsewhere.
Harry's frustration grew.
Fine. Anywhere but Slytherin, then.
The Hat actually seemed to be impressed with Harry's moxie.
You're an honorary one, aren't you, Mr. Potter? Very well, I'll cross off Slytherin, even though I do think you should reconsider. If not Slytherin, then better be...
Gryffindor!
Harry shook his head in exasperation. He was clearly disappointed with the Hat's decision, and Lila clearly saw the sadness on Harry's face as he turned to look at her.
I'm so sorry,
she mouthed to him. He hung his head in shame as he turned around and headed toward the Gryffindor table, despite the fact that the table roared loudly in approval.
We got Potter! We got Potter!
Chanted a pair of red-headed twins that looked much like Ron. They were likely relatives of some sort, Harry thought. He took his seat between Neville and Hermione, who both wanted to welcome him openly, but Harry was so overcome with disappointment that he actually started weeping.
What's wrong, Harry?
Neville asked. Harry didn't say anything but looked at Neville, and then pointed over to the Hufflepuff table with his head.
Oh, Lila, he said softly. I'm so sorry, mate. I know you wanted to be with her more than anything. Miss Darling's a right angel, that one is. She's my very first real friend, Harry said, sniffling. And just like that, she's gone.
Hermione then held out her hand.
Hello, Harry. I'm Hermione Granger. Pleased to meet you.
Harry could barely even acknowledge her.
Hi, Hermione, he said softly, as he shook her hand nonchalantly. Is something bothering you, Harry? Hermione asked.
Again, he pointed toward Lila with his head.
Oh,
was all Hermione could say. She paused and smiled sweetly at Harry.
You really wanted to be with Miss Darling, I take it. I know I'm not Lila, but I could use a friend.
Her head tilted partially down toward her shoes, her face flushing pink with embarrassment.
Any friend, really?
She added softly. The corner of Harry's mouth perked up slightly. His sniffling suddenly stopped, and he placed his thumb and the knuckle of his index finger on Hermione's chin and gently brought her face up to look at his.
I could use a friend, too,
he said, his smile broadening. Hermione responded with a radiant smile of her own.
Lila's a very sweet girl, Harry, Hermione said. You can still be friends with her. It's not like you or she got sorted into Slytherin. There will still be plenty of opportunities for you to spend time with her. I'm pretty sure you can even go over to her table for meals, or have her over here on occasion. To my recollection, there are no rules against that.
Harry actually started laughing.
Yes, she told me about you. She said that you were quite the studious one, and maybe it seemed a bit bossy.
Harry saw Hermione's jaw drop slightly at that particular observation.
But she also said you were very nice, too.
Hermione's face returned to its sweet smile. She giggled.
Yes, I'd spent a few minutes chatting with Lila on the train. She's truly a bright one. She seems to have at least a cursory knowledge of the texts. I don't think she has quite my passion for reading and learning, but I guarantee she's no slouch in the classroom.
Harry took off his glasses to show Hermione.
She is a bright one. She used some sort of spell to fix up my dinged up glasses. I'm not going to lie, I had my doubts at first, but I'm glad it worked. Oh, she must have used the Oculus Reparo spell, Hermione replied glibly.
Harry smiled. That's the one. At that moment, Ron Weasley took a seat across from Harry, Hermione, and Neville. Ron smirked as he looked up at Hermione and Neville.
Do you recall seeing Harry's face when the Hat called out Gryffindor a few minutes ago? That was priceless.
Hermione gave Ron a bit of a stern look.
He was literally crying at the table, Ron. I really think you're being a little insensitive.
Tears of joy, I hope,
Ron said with a chuckle. Hermione's icy stare only intensified.
He really wanted to be a Hufflepuff, if you must know why.
Ron shrugged.
Why would anyone want to be a Hufflepuff? Gryffindor's pretty much the greatest.
Hmm, Hermione said, pointing towards Lila at the Hufflepuff table.
Oh, Ron said.
Sorry, Harry, she's a nice girl, I liked her. I kind of wish she was in Gryffindor, too.
Not everyone is cut out to be a Gryffindor, Ronald,
chided Hermione.
Maybe Lila could do well in Gryffindor, but what's done is done.
It's not the end of the world, I guess, Harry sighed. She's not a Slytherin, at least, so we can still spend some time together, but she's my first real friend, so not seeing her hurts.
Hermione grabbed Harry's hand and squeezed it gently.
Lila is truly a sweet witch, Harry. You'll talk to her soon, I promise. She smiled at him warmly. Harry smiled at Hermione. You're right, she's amazing. She even showed me how to tie my necktie today. I kind of sort of got it, but my knots are not as tidy as hers. She redid mine so it looked not so sloppy. Hermione giggled. I'd have been embarrassed if I were in your situation there, Mr. Potter. Harry shrugged. Not me. I was glad she was there, to be honest. At that moment, there was a clanking sound from the front of the dining hall. Professor McGonagall had called for everyone's attention.
May I have everyone's attention? The headmaster would like to make an announcement.
Professor Albus Dumbledore, headmaster of Hogwarts, stood from his seat to address everyone in the great hall. With a slight smile on his face, he simply said, Let the feast begin. And a wonderful banquet, made courtesy of the house elves, magically appeared on every table.
Maybe Gryffindor won't be so bad, Harry thought. I wish Lila was sitting over here with us, but Ron's a good kid, and Hermione's a sweet girl.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.